Today is a very special day in that we want to honor our mothers and an opportunity just to say thank you and appreciate you. And Mom, you've done so many things that we just can't thank you enough for. 8-year-old Carol wanted to surprise her mother with a card. And so she made one herself, and on the outside the card it said, "Happy Mother's Day." And then on the inside she placed this, "Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Happy Mother's Day." 6-year-old Johnny and his little sister wanted to give their mother just a very special house plant for Mother's Day, and they searched and searched and searched, and they finally came up with what their money could afford, and it was just a spindly little house plant. And while it wasn't the finest specimen there, Mom was just so thrilled with the plant, and she kissed and hugged her children and thanked them for thinking about her. And Johnny said, "There were some other flowers there at the shop that we really wanted to get you, but we just didn't have enough money." And her little sister Susie said, "Yeah, they were a real nice bunch of flowers at that shop that we were going to buy." And Mom said, "Yeah, well, this plan is just great, kids. This is, you remember it, Mama, and I am so happy with it." But little Johnny said, "I know, Mom, but these flowers would have just been so perfect for you. They were in a wreath, and it had a ribbon across them that said, 'Rest in peace.' And you're always asking for a little peace so you can rest." Well, you have to be a mother, I guess, to understand that. But mothers are very special people. Someone has written this about real mothers. Real mothers would like to be able to eat the whole candy bar all by themselves and drink a Coke without any floaters in it. Real mothers know that their kitchen utensils are probably in the sandbox. Real mothers often have sticky floors, filthy ovens, and happy kids. Real mothers know that dried Play-Doh doesn't get out of shag carpets. Real mothers do not want to know what the vacuum just sucked up. Real mothers sometimes ask, "Why me?" and get their answer with the little voice says, "Because I love you best." Real mothers know that children's growth is not measured by height or years or grades. It's marked by the progression of mama, mom, to mother. Well, real mothers are in a class all by themselves. Real mothers have a real investment in the future because they know their children are the future. One preacher said, he observed that real mothers are selfless. When it comes to children, they'll put up with dirty diapers, the throwing up, the spitting up, the crying for hours. They give up their time and their sanity because this child is theirs. They are selfless because they are real mothers. This morning, I want us to look into the scripture to a real mother that is found there, and her name is Hannah. She was a very special mother. Now, Paul wrote over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 11th verse, these words, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon which the ends of the ages have come. Hannah is one of these real mothers who God recorded in His Old Testament history that we can look back to and get some real admonition from, that we can learn from, that we can apply to our own lives today. So let's look briefly at Hannah for just a few moments as a real mother this morning. Hannah had a problem. And verse 5 of our text just tells us that the Lord had closed her womb. Hannah couldn't get pregnant. You know, why couldn't she get pregnant? Well, God had closed her womb. One preacher said God really didn't close her womb. That was just a statement or a comment that was made by some people that, you know, just didn't understand what was going on. You know, like a statement made that you don't understand a natural disaster that's taking place. And you've heard those kind of statements even today. Tornado goes through and you say, oh, you know, that was just an act of God. And yet those people don't believe that that was an act of God. And I have some problems. I have a couple of problems with that line of thought here in Hannah's case. You know, first of all, the Bible says the Lord had closed her womb. Now, it didn't say Hannah thought God had closed her womb. It didn't say Elkanah thought, or it didn't say that the people thought. The Bible says the Lord had closed her womb. Now, when the Bible says that it closed her womb, my first thought is that God closed her womb. The second problem when we with this approach to Hannah's case is that the Scripture uses this phrase one other time in all of Scripture. One other time that I know of, at any rate. You may show me another one. But if you go back to Genesis, and in the days of Abraham, Abimelech, the king of Gerar, had this, you know, nasty little habit of killing men so he could take their wives for his harem. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, was very desirable. And since Abraham had no desire to be killed, he passed off Sarah as his sister. And of course, you know, it happened that Abimelech took Sarah as into his harem. And before Abimelech could touch her, God appeared to him in a dream and explained the situation and told Abimelech, you know, if this is Abraham's wife and Abraham is my prophet, and if you touch her, you're a dead man. And so this so frightened him that he took Sarah back to Abraham and asked Abraham to pray for him. And there in Genesis 20 and verses 17 and 18, we read these words that Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his female servants. Then they bore children. And here's the phrase, for the Lord had closed up all the wombs in the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, in the account here of Abimelech, there's no question that God had closed up the wombs there in his house. God was punishing the king of Gerar for taking Sarah. Now, in our text, God had closed up Hannah's womb. Was God punishing Hannah? Did Hannah do something that was wrong? You know, there's nothing in this account that indicates that Hannah was evil or wicked or anything. In fact, the picture is painted very different than that. That Hannah was a very godly woman, whose heart was breaking, and she was praying with all her heart that God would help her. And that's not the kind of person that God punishes. Over in Chronicles 16, or 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, it tells us there, the eye of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show him strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And that was Hannah. She was loyal to God. God was not punishing Hannah, but God's eyes had gone throughout all the earth looking for a woman who would fill his bill, that would do what he wanted her to do. His eyes focused on Hannah, for he knew Hannah would be the woman he could mold and he could make into the most influential mother of all time. What, you know, this is what happened here. In that day, Israel was a nation in crisis. Judges 17:6 tells us, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody was doing whatever they felt like doing. The whole nation was corrupt. Even the priests were corrupt. And God needed somebody to make a change in things. And, you know, he needed to raise up someone who could lead his people into righteousness. He needed a man who could step up and do what was needed to be done. He needed someone who could be a judge, a prophet, and a priest. And in order to train up that kind of individual in Israel, he needed the help of a very special kind of mother. This is where Hannah came in. Hannah would be a real mother, a godly mother. Hannah was the kind of woman God could count on, and one who would work to train and raise up the child that would change, that would shape, that would make the difference in the future of the nation of Israel. But before he could do that, he had to bring her to the point to where she was desperate enough that she would do whatever God would do or ask her to do. God sometimes uses our pain to guide us to do what he wants us to do. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse the deaf world. God can use all sorts of things to get to us, but many times it's in our pain that he is able to talk to us the most and get our attention. And now that he had Hannah's attention, he had something for Hannah to do. In her pain, Hannah made a decision. In verse 11, she prayed that God would give her a son. And if he would just give her a son, she would give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Every firstborn son of an Israelite belonged to God. That was the law that God had established long years ago. And over there in Exodus 13 and 2, God told his people, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of men and beast, it is mine. So Hannah's firstborn son belonged to God from his birth. But like all the other Israelites at that time, they could redeem their son. They could have gone to and gave a sacrifice, and their son would have come home with them. But you see, Hannah's vow was, God, if you give me a son, I'll let you keep him. I won't redeem him to take him home with me. In her mind, she had already decided that if God gave her a son, she would give him to the priest at the tabernacle to raise. Now, where on earth did she get such an idea as this? You know, did she come up with this on her own? God most likely put that idea in her mind. And when she got to the point in her life where she was willing to give her son to God, God rewarded her and gave her a son. There in 1 Samuel, the second chapter, in verse 21, it goes on to tell us the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. But more significant than these was the fact that she was the mother of Samuel. Samuel, one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. He was the last of the judges. He was the first of a long line of prophets. He was a righteous man, and he guided the people out of their immorality back into obedience that God wanted. You see, Hannah had 3 more sons and 2 daughters, but do you know their names? Do you know who they were? No, but we know who her first son was. And he was the man that God would use. This happened because Hannah was a godly woman who prayed. You know, God had these accounts recorded, as we said there in the beginning, for in examples, that we should learn something from them. God wants us to learn something about Hannah to put in our own lives. God wants us to see that Hannah was a godly woman who was a praying woman. Hannah was the kind of woman that God listened to. Hannah was the type of woman that God wanted to shape all women into. He wants us to be like her. Mother, if you want your children to make you proud, then be like Hannah. If you want your children to make a difference in this world, be like Hannah. If you want your children to grow up and be truly great, be like Hannah. So how can you be like Hannah? First of all, a godly mother believes in the power of prayer and uses it. You see, a godly mother is willing to pray for her family to the point that she is weeping before God. The very heart of this account that we read here about Hannah is about Hannah's prayer, her dedication to God. God was so impressed with her prayer that we are told there, these details are recorded, that she prayed with tears. She prayed with intensity. She prayed with purpose. She prayed believing. And God heard her prayer and gave her the very desire of her heart. Oh, we need to learn to pray like Hannah prayed. And when we do, God tells us in Psalm 37 in verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, a godly mother gives her children to God. Granted, you know, Hannah's gift to God was more dramatic than most of us could do. But a godly mother is convinced that God will help her children, and He places them right within His hands. When you become a Christian, Jesus becomes Lord of all, everything in your life, everything that you possess. And at that point, you give Him what's yours, yourself, and what's yours. You see? And what you give Him, what He gives you, you give back to Him. He gives you a child, you give that child to Him. You know, that's what Paul meant when he preached over, or wrote over there in 2 Timothy, the first chapter in the 12th verse, I am persuaded, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. He is able to keep what I have committed unto Him until that day. What have you committed unto the Lord? Well, thirdly, a godly mother wants God's best for her children. She has learned the wisdom of the words of Jesus that He spoke even while on the cross when He said, not my will, but thine be done. She does this because she is convinced. She is convinced God is best. He is best. And there's nothing better for her and her children than God. And it means she teaches her children to place God first in everything that they do in life. Well, fourthly, a godly mother keeps her word to God as well as to others. God knew He could trust Hannah to do with this baby exactly what she had promised to do. So as soon as this baby boy was weaned, she took him to the tabernacle and honored her promise to God. But that doesn't mean she just walked off and left him there, never checked on him again. You see, we read on down in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 19 that moreover his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Every year she went to visit her son. Now what do you suppose they talked about? What do you think they would talk about that a mother and son? I like to think perhaps she reminds him and tells him how he is a special child. that God gave him to her and that she has dedicated him to God. And he has some great potential and great things to do. What do you talk to your child about? What do you talk to your children about that they are growing into, that God might do with them? Well, number five, a godly mother tells her children about God. A godly mother looks for ways that she can teach her children and tell her children about God. And she looks for ways that she can make them understand that God is best for their life. And she's always, always trying to drive home the point that they are precious in God's sight. A godly mother is a real mother. A godly mother is one of the most powerful forces on this earth. A godly mother has within her ability to shape the future of a world. What are you doing with your powers this morning, mother? A godly mother wrote that her three-year-old son was making it hard for her to do her housework. It seemed that he was right behind her. Every step she took, right behind her, he came. And she tried several times to get him to think about going outside and playing and going with the other kids, but no, he didn't want to do that. And he would just simply give her a smile and say, "That's all right, Mommy. I'd rather be right here with you." And he continued to just bounce along very happily behind her all day long. And after four or five times of turning around and stepping on him, she began to get a little bit, out of sorts with him and just insisted that he go outside and play with the other children. And then she asked him, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, with these big green eyes just looking up at Mama, "Well, Mommy, in my class, the teacher told us to walk in Jesus' footsteps, but I can't see him, so I'm walking in yours." What kind of footsteps are you putting out there for your children this morning? And if they walk in your footsteps, what will they be? Mother, father, what does your children see in you today? There's only one way to be a real mother, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be a real father, that's through Jesus Christ. And the only way to be a real son or daughter is through Jesus Christ. This morning, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Do you realize that you are a sinner in need of His cleansing power? Have you come to Jesus in just simple obedience to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin, that you might receive the gift of His Holy Spirit to live in your life, to help guide you and lead you along, to help you with a life that is good and right with God? There's no better time than today. Why not give it all to Jesus Christ as we stand and as we sing? Jesus is tenderly called.